Well, friends, it's really good to be back with you here on this Labor Day weekend, this Sunday morning in which we can worship our mighty King, our great and holy God. Let me ask you, if you would, to take your Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, that's toward the front end of your New Testament. And we're going to look at a couple of verses there in just a moment. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to be taking a few minutes of our time and talking about the power of the gospel for each one of us. I will tell you straight up, I need to remind myself of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ every day. We'll talk about that next week. And then, God willing, the following week, we will step into the sermon series that Pastor Jeff referenced just a little while ago, a series called God at Work. And it will be an opportunity in which God is going to disciple us for his glory. I'm very excited about the joy that it will be and to be part of that with you. And I want to encourage you to be ready and open and available, because God is going to say some things to us during that series that many of us have been longing to hear from God, but we just didn't know in some ways that God would care enough to tell us. And we're going to process from God's word something that we believe is going to be life-changing for us as a church family and those individuals that make it up. And so be anticipating that. But for today, we are aware that many of us find ourselves off in the wilderness. And we're wondering why, if there's purpose. We wonder if God has forgotten us. We're going to give attention to that right now from this love letter called the Bible. Would you pray with me? Father, teach us now from your word that we might be more like Christ, that we might enjoy the presence of your Spirit in a way that is rich and deep, finding us tender to him. Help us, O God, wherever you find us today, to rest with you trustingly and at peace. Not conjured up from within ourselves, but from you. O God of heaven, reframe faulty thinking about the arduous journeys in which many of us find ourselves. Help us to believe that you are trustworthy, even if the path does not seem straight. Be with me as I stand here with family and friends. Let your Spirit move in our midst, and God of heaven be glorified. Right now we ask, and all of God's people said, amen, amen. The great and mighty Pharaoh finally relented. The man Moses led forward. And the Hebrew people, well, they locked arms and held hands and gathered all of their wares. And they put a foot in front of them and stepped toward the land of promise that God had sworn to give unto them. That land flowing with milk and honey. Imagine the sheer exhilaration of knowing that now the slavery was done. Now freedom had come. Now the journey was commencing toward that land that God had promised. It was time to move from the bonds of Egypt to that place that the Hebrew people would call home. 250 miles right up the coast. 2 weeks max for a vast crowd to make their way, that direct route, right up into the land of Canaan. Oh, the joy. It's coming. It's going to be soon. They could taste it, no doubt. But it wasn't meant to be that way. God had a very different plan. A plan that wrecked their aspirations. a plan that redirected their steps, a plan that seemed to dismantle the logical. They were not going to take that direct path. They were not going to make that straight line journey. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18 tell us this story. You might look there with me for a moment. Verse 17 and 18 say this: when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt. God was not going to take them that direct way up the coast into the land of promise. Rather, he was going to send them southeast into the arid peninsula called Sinai, into the desert, into the wilderness, into the wastelands. And it wasn't going to be a 2-week journey. When all was said and done, they were on that wilderness pathway for 40 years. Now, can you imagine those Hebrew women and men as they are stepping out to go to the land of promise? And they're thinking they should go that way. But suddenly they see Moses taking them that way. Can't you imagine some of those women and men saying, excuse me, Moses, but the promised land is that direction. And Moses having to say, I get it, I'm sorry, but the reality is the Almighty God has taken us this direction. And can't you hear some of those Hebrews saying, but wait a minute. When we were in grade school, we learned that the shortest distance between two points is what? Straight line. It's a straight line to go that way. It's not a straight line if we go that way. And Moses, no doubt, forced to say, you're right. And then the tension mounts. And there's tension in here as well. There's tension right here as well as you're hearing this because you find yourself longing to go from point A to B in a straight fashion. And yet God, it would appear, has forced you off of that direct path out into what feels like a wasteland. And you are wandering around and it is taking a lot of time. It is costly. It is painful. It is frustrating. Now I know in a crowd this size that many of us could say, yeah, you got me. Some of us want so badly for the vision that we have, the goal that we have, the dream that we have to be achieved by the straight line, the direct path. We want to start having children and we want it to be a straight line experience, and yet it seems like God is not answering and the heavens are made of brass and now we're out in the wilderness. And it hurts because we wonder if we'll ever get there. We want to be a church that is many tribes and many tongues, where reconciliation, biblical, just reconciliation, not only permeates our context, but is a role model to the region and beyond. And yet, it takes time. And instead of a direct route that is somewhat easy, we find that we're having to go out into the wilderness. We want to be able to get that promotion. It should be so easy. And yet, it seems like we're out in the middle of nowhere. We want to be able to finish school in time. You know, the standard four-year drill, get the degree, move on into the workforce. And here I am in my sixth year toiling away. Why is it so hard? Why the journey? We want to achieve this financial prosperity where my family can thrive. And yet it seems like I keep taking steps backward. Why can't there be the direct route, the straight line? It ought to be so easy. It ought to be so simple. It ought to be so natural. But God has different plans. And the question that begs to be asked is why? What might we learn from such different plans? And I need an answer to it, and so do you, because as we are wandering in our own individual wildernesses, it is too easy in the wandering to become disillusioned, discouraged, frustrated, angry, and feel very alone. And so, if we can reframe our thinking so that the wilderness makes some sense, that would help, would it not? And so, I have some reflections on this from God's Word. From Exodus 13 and one or two other spots. Let me start with one of those other spots. You don't need to turn there. But at the end of his life, right before Moses died, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is reflecting on this 40 years in the wilderness. And as he's reflecting on this, some things come to his mind regarding why the wilderness journey. And he talks about the power of grappling with humility. God wanted the people to grapple with humility. He talks about how God wanted the people to look inside themselves and understand what they're made of, what is broken, and what God can redeem. He speaks about God Almighty wanting the people to be stretched in their faith so that they might, as the text says, depend on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Moses offers this humility, this understanding, and this dependency as values God wanted to create right there in that wilderness experience. So then when we go back to Exodus 13 and I stare at the verses and I think about those dear people who are looking up to the northeast and they see the pathway, the direct path, the straight line, and yet they're having to go to the southeast into the wilderness. I think, what is it that they should have known or could have known that would have been helpful? And here are just a few, and you might write them down. One that comes to mind is this. The direct route would have tempted the people. The direct route would have tempted the people to take God for granted. And in their thinking, to reduce him to a mere short-term liberator rather than see him as a powerful, loyal, loving, long-term father. Let me say that again. The direct route, yes, it would have been easy, but in its simplicity, the people would have been tempted to dismiss God, to take him for granted. They would have been tempted to reduce him to nothing other than a short-term liberator rather than see him for what he is, as the powerful, loyal, loving, long-term, committed father that he is to them. They would not have had the time or the space to process how powerful he is. They would not have had the space or the time to experience his loyal love. 2 weeks up the coast and they're done. For all practical intents, God would have been like an emergency room physician, there in the trauma, there in the triage, there in the crisis, there in the urgent moment. But when it was all done and the crisis was averted, we don't need him anymore. We move on and maybe we find another doctor for more long-term things. What a temptation that would have been. To just take him for granted. And you couple that with the reality that the people in those days, they thought of deities as local. And so there are the Egyptian gods and the Canaanite gods and so forth. And perhaps this god is just one of those in-between gods that helps them go from point A to point B. It would be tempting to reduce in their thinking the one true living universal God to that. But by going into the wilderness, they're forced to deal with him. Year after year, decade after decade. And there they get to see power that's not just about emergency, but is daily. There they get to see loyalty that is unconditional and enduring. And it's harder, therefore, to take him for granted. So I think if they'd taken the direct route, they would have been tempted to dismiss God, take him for granted, and in their thinking, reduce him to something less than he is. Remember that when you're out in the wilderness, wondering why it's so hard to get from point A to point B. Perhaps it is because God is so crazy in love with you. He wants you to know he's going to be faithful and loyal and powerful, and he's not going to leave you. And if everything was so quick and easy, it'd be harder for us to grasp that reality. Another thing that comes to my mind, the direct route not only teases us, tempts us to take God for granted, but the direct route minimizes the experience needed in our lives from which we can draw later. The direct route minimizes the much-needed experience from which we must draw when things get tough, when things get challenging. Remember, the Hebrew people had been slaves for 430 years. All they knew was how to survive, how to scramble to make life work. They were a people conditioned to be afraid. They were oppressed. They were denigrated, they were disrespected, they were persecuted, they were brutalized. They lived for centuries under the rough sandal of Pharaoh and his minions. Their experience was a survival mentality experience. They didn't know how to create a nation. They didn't know how to organize. They didn't know how to manage an ethos that would be life-giving. This was completely foreign to them. 2 weeks up the coast would not have allowed them the margin to gain the wisdom necessary to thrive. But 40 years in the wilderness would have given them ample opportunity. Now, Krista and I, we've been married 25 years. This summer, we celebrated 25 years. I'm so thankful for my beautiful Krista. So I can tell you, I have so much more to learn as a husband. So many more ways I need to develop as a man. But I can also tell you that 25 years in, Krista and I are far more savvy about our relationship than we were 2.5 years in. I mean, honestly, it's night and day. The dear woman, She has put up with so much. Experience grows you up. It hit me this past week that I'm approaching 3 decades in vocational ministry of some kind, the past 20 years of which have been in a role like I am in here at New Hope Church. I look back 25, 28 years ago, and I compare intuition, God-given wisdom that I have now to then, and honestly, it's frightening, the difference. I look back and I think, I really said that? I preached that? Wow, those poor people. Experience grows a person so that you can then leverage your experience for purposes that are life-giving and transcendent. And these people, if they'd taken the direct route, it would have minimized the opportunity for them to have experience from which they can then draw in order to create, to build, to conquer, and to bring peace and to thrive. A friend of mine, years and years ago, a mentor of mine, a preacher named Chuck Swindoll, pulled me aside one day and he said, Matthew, I was probably in my early 20s. He said, Matthew, you've got a lot of discernment for a young man, but wise you are not. Thanks. He said, wisdom is gained by experience. Wisdom takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And I was frustrated. I was annoyed. I wanted to prove him wrong. But he's right. The direct route, the straight line, minimizes the experience needed in order to leverage oneself well for the glory of God. If these people had taken the straight route, they would not have grown in wisdom so as to tackle the things that life would bring their way. If they'd taken the direct route, it would have limited the opportunity for them to develop as a community. It would have limited the opportunity for them to develop as a people, as a united community. Heretofore, they were slaves scrambling to make life work, struggling, surviving. And the idea of loving one another, even loving one's enemy, the idea of leveraging God's morals and ethos for great glory and for community joy, these are things that were incomprehensible to them. In order for them to go in and build a nation, they needed to know not only how to lead, but who should be the leaders. They needed to know what was the vast array of giftedness and resources, time and talent and treasure stretching out across the whole body of the Hebrew people. They needed to learn how to bring order to themselves. They needed to learn how to be neighbors. They needed time to develop as a mature community. Our mighty God cares deeply about relational health. And if they had just taken the straight route right up the coast and gone right in and tried to conquer the people there, they would not have had the relational maturity to pull it off and to build a lasting kingdom, because all they knew was survival and scrambling and brutality. God cares so much that you and I mature relationally as community. And sometimes he takes us on these meandering pathways so as to tighten up our families, our friendships, our churches, and so forth. You know how it works. You get a big project at work or at school, or your family goes on a road trip, or you and a group of folk go on a mission trip. And at the start of it all, you're sort of looking at each other and you're a little skittish. And do I really want to do this? And by the end of it, you would die for one another. Because time and space can build healthy community. And God wanted to take a couple of million of his precious children and put them together in a vibrant community. And that wasn't going to happen on a 2-week jaunt up the coast. Thus, they needed the wilderness journey. The direct route would have tempted them to take God for granted. It would have minimized the experience that they would need from which to draw later. It would have limited their ability to mature as a community, and the direct route would have forced them, listen to me, friends, forced them into circumstances for which they were ill prepared. Forced them into circumstances for which they were ill prepared, such as war. And in fact, that's what the text says here, lest the people change their minds when they see war. They weren't prepared for that. Oh, they were strong. These people had been carrying bricks made of straw and mud around under the whips of Pharaoh's soldiers. They were strong people. But they weren't people equipped for battle. They didn't really have an understanding of command and control. They didn't know what it was to enter into combat and be effective. They didn't know what it was to come up with strategies, deal with loss in ways that doesn't dispirit them and scatter them. If they had gone straight up the coast and on into the land of Canaan, they would have been so ill prepared. The fighting would have gotten the best of them. The nations there would have hurt them. As it is, they needed to be in an incubator, so to speak, out in the wilderness where they could learn, they could grow, they could develop, where God could mature them, prepare them, build them, so they can flourish, they can thrive together. But it's not the direct way. But God knows what he's doing. And just as he knows what he's doing with the people of old, he knows what he's doing with the people of today. He knows what he's doing with me, and he knows what he's doing with you. And if by some chance reframing your thinking about the arduous journey can give you joy and shalom and a renewed sense of purpose, and if it can minimize your fear and mitigate your worry, then praise God for his word, which instructs us toward that end. I shared recently with our staff, and by the way, let me just be clear, New Hope Church has the finest ministry and general staff of any church anywhere. We are so blessed with the women and men that serve in this context as our staff. Had a chance to share with them recently and then with others of you throughout the summer in different contexts. One of my favorite and most meaningful passages of Scripture. I've spent about 3 years in Psalm 68 and Psalm 69, just studying through the lines there. I needed to, because I was at a place a few years ago of just reeling personally, weary and spent, and I needed God to just sit me down and just really work intimately on restoring my soul. And in Psalm 68, verse 4, is a verse that is spoken to me that is timely here. And I want you to see it. It simply says this: sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the desert. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Now, I love this because it picks up on that imagery of the wilderness, the desert. Now, some of you wanting that straight line, wanting that direct path, for all the reasons we've just spoken of, you are out in the wilderness, you are out in the desert. And boy, is it painful, and it is frustrating, and you're angry, and you feel alone. And I want you to hear that you're not alone and that your God is with you. The text says, sing to the Lord who rides through the desert. He doesn't go around it as if it's inconvenient for him to be hot and sandy. He doesn't fly over it so as to get away from it as quickly as possible. He doesn't burrow underneath it and crawl through a hole so as to avoid the heat of day. He doesn't sit back and ignore it with arms crossed and a face turned in another direction. It says that this God goes through that desert, and that means he's right there through it with you. And so, it may not be the direct route. It may not be the straight line from point A to point B. He may have taken you into the desert, but he's there with you. And don't you ever forget it. And his purposes are good. Can you say that word good with me? His purposes are good. They are good. And we can trust him. Our Heavenly Father, dismiss us now in the name of Jesus. Assuage the hurts that many of us feel because our aspirations seem so fleeting as we find ourselves in some metaphorical wasteland. O God of heaven, nurture us with your grace. Reframe our thinking. Let us not despair, but trust, because your purposes are good and you are preparing for us things that glorify you and bring joy to us. Oh, find us trusting, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. God willing, we'll see you next week. Take care, friends.